News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
Delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Ted Wright from Wrightech Fire Group CEO. Ted, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
Now, I want to bring you back to County Westmeath, a place called Milltown Pass.
That's right.
Where you grew up. Tell us a little bit about your early days and indeed your upbringing, if you would.
I brought up a little village called Milltown Pass, just on the old N6 to Galway. A lovely little village, there's three villages there. Milltown Pass, Rochbirds, Terrell's Pass. You would have drove through them going to Galway.
Yeah, and when was that bypassed?
Bypassed about 92, I think. 93, right. 92, 93. There was big uproar at the time because it was cutting lads' farms in half and everything. But yeah, that's fantastic. It's good now. The village is booming. They have a new football pitch and everything. It's great.
Yeah, so were you from farming stock or...?
Well, my dad's father was a builder. My dad always worked in industry. But we're in the middle of all my friends around there at the time were all farmers.
Right.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. Every weekend was working at home, you know.
Yeah.
Working with pipework and being told what to do.
So did your dad set up the business originally?
That's right. About 1985, he set up as a sole trader, and then I think it went limited in 1996. And he set up servicing fire pumps all across Ireland.
Okay.
And he used to do that for SPP pumps, which are based in Reading.
So when you say servicing fire pumps, just tell us more about what the initial business was.
So fire pumps are used to feed water to the fire sprinkler system.
Okay.
It's a very specialised pump. It runs at high RPM. And my dad would have trained in that, and he started then going around. You have to go twice and four times a year, depending on the standard, to run those pumps, test them, make sure they're cutting in, because it's all life safety.
Yeah, so the idea is that these pumps are only required when there's an emergency.
Correct. So they're always on, but they're never running.
Okay.
You understand me?
Yeah.
They're always waiting, ready to run. So they're like a sprinter, and then the startup goes straight up to high RPM straight away.
So the business opportunity there was... not only the manufacturer of the pump, or was it that?
We did some of that. Because my dad is a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He started that in 2001 with Patterson Pumps.
And then obviously the management and maintenance of the pump being the ongoing revenue.
Yeah, correct.
And
he did that all across the island of Ireland, from Shorts in Belfast down to Irish Stillers in Cork.
Tell me a little bit about then how the business grew and then how you interacted with it.
So my mum, he started... slowly and surely, he trained in Matter and Platt, and then he started slowly and surely getting some fire sprinkler adjustment work. So he built his team up. So about 1992, 93, my mum joined, and it started to grow a little bit again. And then we moved into a new place in Mullingar, because we were working from behind the house at that
point,
you know. And we moved into 10,000 square foot in Mullingar, which we're actually still there today. We're headquarters there, and we built out a bit. Good bit.
Yeah, So in those days, when your mum entered the business, were you talking about, 1 to 2 million turnover? When would you have hit those numbers?
Less that. We didn't hit a million until 2021.
Is that right?
And it was a million. It was a million punts at the time, or 840,000 punts. And we did a million. I remember my mum telling me 2002, we're going to do a million this year, and it was a big thing for us at the time.
In 2002.
In 2002, yeah.
Yeah, and then in terms of growing the business, then obviously you were there then for the construction boom.
Yeah.
So a lot of these.
I moved when I finished university. I went to AIB, worked at AIB Bank. I used to work in credit card centre in Donnybrook.
Oh, right.
And I knew Kylie's very well. And then I moved back then.
And tell me about that, because often there's a dilemma when, you know, one leaves to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And that family business is there, but you're not really part of it. But then you get the call to come, well, look, would you come back here and give us a dig out, or would you come back here and take it over?
Yeah, well, look, come back, and they said they'd give me a piece, because I tried before and it didn't work. But I said, come back, and they'd give me the service section of it, which was small at the time, four engineers. And I said, yeah, I'll come back and I'll try that. But in my mind, it was 6 months. In my mind, I was going to Australia. I wanted to travel. I had friends gone out, and I delayed it due to love, Bobby.
Yeah, that's allowed.
Right. And I'm there 24 years. 24 years.
Another interesting thing about you, Ted, is, you know, many parents make it relatively easy for succession to happen, and they gift part of the business. Or in other words, you actually bought into your own family business.
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about that and how that came about and why that was the case.
Well, my mum would be an accountant, and her brother had an accountant practice, and they developed a plan of how we'd buy in, my brother and I, Alan. And we bought 80 or 90% of the business through funding by Ulster Bank.
When was that?
That was arranged in 2007, 2008 it was signed.
Right.
Just before the...
Yeah. So did you pay too much for it then?
Yeah, we probably did at the time. Looking back, I tell you, they got a good multiple. That's what I look at. But I look at it now. But look, we knew how good... I knew the business. I knew it had huge potential.
Yeah.
And it's after grown astronomically since.
Yeah. And again, I want to... our listeners will be interested in that growth.
Okay.
So how did you get from stage to stage? You say you were involved with your brother Alan.
Yeah.
Who did what, or how did
Well, Alan was very customer-facing. He was great at customer-facing. And then I did this back house. So the operations... Alan didn't join until 2000, I think three or four... So he took a sort of a sales and customer relations role, which was fantastic. And it's always great to have family in the business.
Yeah.
You can bounce stuff off. And trust is, you know, it's always so deep in family.
Did the folks let go when you bought in? Or do they ever really let go?
No. They still tell me what I'm doing wrong, and they still tell me
even though you paid them good money.
The money is irrelevant, absolutely irrelevant. And I don't know. Money is important. It is important, of course. But I suppose you don't do it for the money.
No, of course you don't.
Because you do it for the challenge. I do it for the challenge, you know.
So you got a turnover of what, 25 million today? In 21 to 140 to 150 million in 20. This year, we're going to
150 million this year. Yeah,
we went 150 million.
Yeah,
and wow.
But when you think of it, when Alan and I took over, we were doing 2.7 million.
Yeah,
Alan and I brought that business 2001 to 25 million, which was harder, much harder.
So when you look at that number, which is huge, that must mean, you know, international growth, acquisitions.
Yes. We in 2001, we were already working in Germany and Sweden and England, right? And we'd set up a business in the UK. So we sort of knew how to push on, right? But when Waterland came in with investment, that allowed us to acquire. And what that meant was you could accelerate growth so dramatically. And then it's the case of buying a business that's got a similar culture than ourselves, that understands what I want to do. And then we grow out from there.
Yeah,
I don't change the business when I buy a business. I try to keep it because you're buying a good business, or you're trying to buy a good business.
Yeah, and you may as well keep it as a good business.
So some people in our sector would rebrand it, rechange it. I don't do that. I don't want that. What I want to do is I want to bring their expertise and try to see can we drive synergies in the business. I want to see, seeking to learn from my experience of what the mistakes I made growing a business, you know, and then use some of the back office stuff that we have.
So when you look at the year we're in, 2025, how many acquisitions would you be targeting this year?
Well, we just finished our 10th, right?
Right.
I hope to do 5 next year now because of...
Would you?
Yeah, because we've rebuilt our group. Over the last 2 years, I've built a whole new group, a team around me now to allow us to go much quicker in acquisitions and integration. We have our own software set up now, and we're trying to... I built a software when I left university that runs our business, and that software now... I put a development team in place, and we've made that cloud-based, which allows us then to put it out to everybody else. So that took about 2 years to get us to that point. So now we're sort of at a ramp-up stage.
Yeah. It's interesting as well when you get into acquisitions and you do a lot of them as you're doing, it becomes a pretty slick act.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like starting cold. You learn, if you've got momentum on it, you can quite easily, fluidly move from one to the next.
You can. You know, you can drop the ball too. I mean, we've done that. You start in some... I think it's really about getting the right fit when you're getting someone in and bringing someone in that's like, I want to bring a business that's ready for growth, that wants to work with us, that has leaders, that has the same, I suppose, what's the same...
Values.
Beliefs and values, that's the word, as myself. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to be the best of what we do. So you want the best people, best businesses, then people are going to work with you all the way through. So if you do the best work, you'll get the best prices.
Yeah, and one way to sell a business is to run a good business.
Well, that's it.
Because people will do, automatically you'll have suit. Yeah, people lining up to buy you.
Yeah, and people lining up to work with you.
Yeah.
That, if you're really good at what you do and you drive what you do, and people enjoy it, they'll want to work with you.
It's a very busy world that you occupy, Ted. Downtime, golf, family, nothing complicated.
Well, when I got the investment with Waterland, I decided I was going to take up golf, and now I'm addicted. I played it when I was younger and I was horrendous, but I'm addicted now. Handicapped crap, but I'm addicted.
What is it that you like about golf? Is it walking the land with a couple of lads or chatting?
The worse I get. The harder I try, the worse I get. No, I love the chat, and I love getting out to walk. I love it. It's just 4 hours to have a good chat with someone to see, you know, and you can learn so much out in the golf course.
Yeah.
I've done 2 or 3 good deals in the golf course.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. Thought I'd never do it. People say you do it, but I said that's, you know, but I have actually.
Well done. Well, on that positive note, Ted Wright from Wright Tech Fire Group, great to chat to you. And what a lovely story of hard work, of family, and what a business you've built. So well done to you.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Yeah, great. Good man. Well done.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.